Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to have you with us this Sunday. If you were with us last Sunday, I just remember back in the day, newspapers used to print the following day corrections to what happened in the previous day's newspaper. Is that right, George? I think that's correct. So I just want to say, last Sunday, if you were here, you heard me make a mistake. Can you believe that? I said that light travels at 186,000 miles per hour, and some of you sleuths were so on top of me to send notes and reminders, John, it's 186,000 miles per second, which is true. Light is extremely fast, and we are so excited that you decided to make this your spiritual home for worship this morning, and we hope that this service is a blessing to you as you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We hope that in the midst of this service, you have an opportunity to grow in your understanding and love of Jesus Christ. I want to let you know as a reminder that after this service, some of us will be heading over to our Whitmore Lake campus for an outdoor worship experience at 11 a.m. with a picnic to follow. You can come to the service if you'd like at 11 o'clock. You also are more than welcome to just come for the picnic at 12 o'clock if you'd like. It'll be an all-church gathering lakeside. And if you've seen on Facebook, we posted a couple of pictures of the sunrise over Whitmore Lake this morning. I mean, it was just amazing to see this panoramic view of orange and blue and red, the sunrise over the lake. It was fantastic, and we are so grateful for the amazing weather that we've had today. Today, we're continuing a sermon series about the different I am statements of Jesus, and today, we're going to be looking at two I am statements. I am the good shepherd is the one we're going to be looking at this service, and I am the gatekeeper is the one we'll be looking at the 11 o'clock service down in Whitmore Lake. And as we look at these I am statements of Jesus, it's our hope that you come to have a deeper understanding and appreciation of the things that Jesus himself says that he is. And so as we begin our worship service this morning, I hope that you take a moment and just reflect on how those I am statements are meaningful in your own life and in your own understanding of Jesus Christ. A couple of requests of you, if you'd like. There are prayer cards in the pew back in front of you, and if you have any significant prayer concerns on your heart and mind, we invite you to fill those out and put them in the offering plate a little bit later on in the service when they come by. Secondly, if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill out a connection card and let us know that you're here. We have a bunch of ministries that are beginning here in the month of September and October, and if you would like to be a part of those, we encourage you to fill those out as well. With that, I invite you to please stand and worship God together with us this day. Amen.
Thank you. join me in the opening prayer? Dear Lord and Savior of us all, as you have guided us throughout life, be with us again in worship today. Help us to recognize when we are led astray and keep us on the path following you. Let our worship today and our community of faith continue to carry us toward you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture today comes from John 10, verses 1 through 21. That wasn't my idea, okay? Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come into and go out of to find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thank you so much, God. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one whose voice we know so well. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been watching, a couple of sports on TV these days, taking in Michigan State last night. I almost had a heart attack. It was pretty intense. And in my family, watching that game is pretty challenging. I have to really consider and weigh my allegiances in a game like that. For those of you that don't know, Pastor Lindsay's back in Nebraska. Her uncle passed away a couple weeks ago, and so she was watching the game with all of her Nebraska family, and I was getting text messages like, "You're wearing red, right? Like, you're with us. You're not a Michigan State fan at this moment." But I was also really taken by the commercials. You know, I don't always watch a ton of television, but I was watching some of the commercials for the Michigan State game, and it's always striking to me about how many commercials tell me that I need something that I don't have. Anybody else relate to that? I mean, frankly, like fast food restaurants or restaurants in general, they always put a picture of a massive plate of food, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, yeah, I could go for that right now, actually. And sometimes they're like, "Do you have life insurance?" And they're looking straight in your eyes and what making you afraid for your future. There's lots of different advertising schemes that companies have employed to try to get you to buy a product or change your behavior or think differently about the world around you. And for the most part, I'm able to dismiss those advertisements, although there have been times that have been immediately persuaded that I needed something that I don't have. But there's a different kind of advertisement as well that sometimes comes across, particularly at marquee moments in history. These kind of ads aren't like, you know, some sort of tempter whispering in your ear that you need something, but instead they speak a profound truth about what it means to be human. Maybe you can remember an advertisement that in the midst of seeing massive images of Big Macs and Arby's sandwiches with curly fries, you remember an advertisement that took you to another place because it said something that was true about humanity. I wanted to take some time this morning to tell you about two advertisements that I probably will remember for the rest of my life. One of them came out in 2015, and it was for a German company, and none of the language was in English. It was for a company called Attica. I think that's how you pronounce the name, but it never even sold you a product. It just told you something about humanity. It was an advertisement about an old man who is sitting inside his home around the holiday season. And he was getting ready to go into Christmas time, and he started listening to the phone calls that were recorded on his answering machine. And one after another, it was his kids who called him and said, "I'm so sorry, Papa, I won't be home for the holidays. Work is too busy. Our family life is too complicated. I just can't make it this year. Hopefully we'll be together next year." And then the scene cuts to this old man putting the Christmas cards up on the mantelpiece, stacking them one right next to another, filling the mantel place with cards from his extended family and loved ones. The next scene in this particular advertisement is all of his children opening up cards or checking their cell phones because they all received the same notification at the same time. Papa had passed away. And so all of a sudden you see them making arrangements with cabs to get to the airport and hopping on airplanes, and all of them go rushing home to go to the memorial service for the father that they all believe that they had lost. And so they go to the funeral home, and in some elaborate scheme, they come back into the home, into that space where the papa had been sitting at the table by himself just a few days before, eating his Christmas dinner all by himself. And sure enough, as they walk into the dining room, they see a table set for all of them with candles lit and all of the Christmas arrangements gathered around the dining room. They all look at disbelief and they see the father that they all thought had passed away standing there with Christmas dinner in his hands saying, "How else could I get you all together for the holidays?" And that advertisement, it reminded me of a profound truth that we're better together, that a lot of things can get in the way of the most important things, that we allow our life to be cluttered with all kinds of events and calendar engagements, but at the end of the day, probably what matters most is spending those sacred and important moments together. At the end of the day, that advertising firm that came up with that series of ads wasn't interested in selling a product. It was interested in reminding us of something that's true. That at the end of the day, the stuff that we have doesn't matter as much as the people that we have. Another advertisement came during the Super Bowl in 2015. Perhaps you remember this commercial as well if you're a Super Bowl watcher, but this commercial was brought to us by the company Always. It was a commercial that highlighted what it means to do something like a girl. If you remember this commercial, they asked a whole bunch of adults, what does it mean to throw like a girl? And all of these adults on camera mimicked what it looked like to throw like a girl. And they would sort of lazily, you know, plop the ball and then look down at the ground and see that the ball had only gone a couple feet in front of them. After that, they said, what does it mean to run like a girl? And another person is seen sort of like flaunting themselves all over like this, back and forth and running slowly. And then they say in a mocking tone, "Oh, I broke a nail. My hair's not right." And then in a moment later, the scene cuts to young 3- and 4-year-olds, young girls, 7-year-olds maybe, and they say, "What does it mean to run like a girl?" And those girls with the determination of a 7- or 5-year-old say, "It means that run as fast as you can," and you can see their face get determined as they pump their arms just like any other kid would, running as fast as they possibly can. "What does it mean to throw like a girl?" And this young 5-year-old picks up a ball and throws it in perfect form. She would make Justin Verlander envious himself across the movie, across the screen. And then the company asked this question, when did doing something like a girl become an insult? And then it said that most girls during puberty lose the vast majority of confidence. Let us once again say to do something like a girl is to do something amazing. I remember seeing that commercial in the middle of the halftime show of the Super Bowl and reflecting on the ways in which our societal messaging degrades and puts certain people in categories and boxes, and it puts them down, it insults them, it degrades them. And I remember thinking, this particular voice, to do something like a girl, is not the voice of God. And when I think about this particular passage, and Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," when he says, "I am the gatekeeper," when he says all of these statements about who he is, one of the things that he says is, "As the good shepherd, the sheep know my voice." And I'm hoping that that's true for all of you, because I think there was something about those commercials that sort of channeled something that we believe to be true about God's voice. Something beautiful, something profound, something deeply moving, some truth that is true come what may about what it means to be human. And I believe that when Jesus speaks to us, he speaks to us with those kinds of voices. Voices of hope and transformation and liberation. Voices that remind us about the most important things in our life not being the material goods that we have, not being about the stuff that we've accumulated, but about the people that we spend time with. when we hear the shepherd's voice, it's the one that tells us that it's not okay to say that doing something like a girl is to be in any way less than or less significant or less glamorous than to do something like a boy. We know God's voice because we read about it in the scriptures, these stories about Jesus coming into community after community to let people know the way back to God. This particular passage in John chapter 10 comes right after Jesus has a confrontation with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. He's into a massive conflict with them because he has once again healed somebody, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day are upset because Jesus would again break the religious laws to heal somebody. I can just imagine Jesus saying, "What in the world do you think I am supposed to do? I was granted this power and authority from my Father in heaven. It's my job to heal people who are sick, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set the captives free. This is my mission. This is what I've come here to do. I am the good shepherd." We all have lots of voices in our head telling us the ways in which we don't quite measure up to somebody else. I mean, honestly, if you just watch a couple of beauty commercials with airbrushed supermodels who look absolutely fantastic, or perhaps you see folks standing there in perfect suits that are cut exactly for their bodies, and you're like, "Man, I can never measure up to that." Maybe you've seen commercials in your life and you think, "Man, if I only had that brand new Ford Mustang Mach-E, life would be so much better." Well, that may be true. But at the end of the day, I believe that there are certain voices that we hear in our head that are of God, that remind us that we are good enough exactly as we are, that we are loved exactly as we were created, that there's nothing in God's eyes that is wrong with us inherently, that we do have enough, that everything in creation is good, that it is a gift from God. And when we hear those voices, we know deep down in our hearts as God's sheep that the shepherd is speaking to us. But I'm here to tell you there are a lot of other voices in the world today. And it's our job to dial into the channel of the one who calls us by name. And so it's my conviction that Jesus says, when he says that he is the good shepherd, when he says that he is the one that we all should know by name, when he says he is the gatekeeper, he's reminding us that he is our God and we are his children, and that there's nothing that we could ever do that can separate us from that great love that we have in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for the shepherd's voice that calls us by name, that loves us from the moment that we are brought into existence, and that will love us all the way through to the end of our life. What an incredible gift it is to be known by the Good Shepherd. Amen. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for all of the great voices that we have in our lives, whether they be from commercials, whether they be from leaders, whether they be from teachers or mentors or coaches or friends. We're grateful for the voices that come from other mouths, but we know ultimately are from you. And we're grateful for the voice that you have in Scripture to remind us that we are your beloved children. Allow us to have ears to hear. Allow us to have hearts that are open. Allow us to have minds that are focused on you. For you are the Good Shepherd. Amen. Thank you.
As John said, it made me think of a commercial, the Verizon commercial, "Can you hear me now?" And I think, you know, God smacking me on the side of the head, "Can you hear me now?" And the book of James has become kind of a favorite for me in that regard. It kind of gives me that little quick nudge. And in chapter 5, he talks about prayer and the power of prayer. You know, for those that are faithful and believe, it talks a little bit in 5 verses 13 through 18. And today the prayer was very much for me centered and focused on the book of James. So if you would please join me now in an attitude of prayer. Great God in heaven, we gather to worship you and praise your holy name. You are Elohim, the Creator, knowing us better than we know ourselves. You are Eld, the God of knowledge, offering us your wisdom in your word. You are Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, giving us peace when trusting you. Thank you for the practical words from James following the resurrection of your Son. Help us understand challenging trials that grow us toward perfection in Christ. Help us understand wisdom and generously given when we trust your word. Help us understand generosity as every good gift is from heaven above. Encourage us outwardly, express your gift of faith through our relationships and service. Remind us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slower to anger in relationships. Remind us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, so we remember your law. Remind us to be impartial in all our relationships, so we don't fail and fall to social pressure. Bless us in serving spiritual and physical needs through true love of our neighbors. Transform us to keeping your whole law so we obey your command to love others. Transform us to showing mercy to others so we overcome temptations to judge others. Transform us to serving others so our faith reflects deep trust in our Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise your name, for all glory and honor belongs to you, Jehovah, the great I Am. Guide our hearts so that our mouths not engage in complaining and exaggerating. Guide our hearts so that our mouths not promote false teachings, flattery, and gossip. Guide our hearts so that our mouths lift others up as we grow in your amazing grace. Forgive us when we fall into Satan's worldliness by desiring what we cannot obtain. Let us avoid jealousy and self-ambition and seek the gentleness in your wisdom. Let us humbly ask for what we need and be content with the blessings you provide. Let us resist the devil, mourn for sins, and draw closer as we submit to your will. Hear us now as we silently come to you in prayer. Thank you for listening to our prayers of confession, gratitude, and petition. We give thanks for Jesus lighting our way to you. We give thanks for Jesus laying down his life for us. We give thanks for Jesus calling us to the gate of salvation. Hear us now as we remember the words our good shepherd taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Greg, for your prayers and leadership this morning. As we continue in our service, there are so many ways to respond to that Good Shepherd's voice in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings, and the ushers will be moving through this space in just a moment. I also wanted to take a moment to invite forward Mary Kushner, who, while we are receiving the offering, will be sharing with you a little bit about one of the mission and ministry projects that we support here at this church. It's called the Torch 180 Program, and so we are grateful, Mary, for you to be here. If you don't know, the Torch food truck will be outside of our campus at Whitmore Lake for the 11 o'clock service, so we're excited about that. Thank you so much, Mary, for sharing about the Torch.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me? I especially enjoyed the sermon because as a girl who doesn't run very well, in fact, it brought back one of my favorite memories of my high school PE teacher yelling at me as I'm trying to do the 50-yard dash and running as fast as I can, yelling, "Nobody runs that slow." And I don't like to run. I hate to run, but I love to walk. And it's crop walk time. So that's why I'm here today, because the crop walk is October 17th, and we are again the host church. Last year we raised over $3,200, and I hope we can do that again, because your generous donations go all around the world and here and stay here in Livingston County too. 75% of the money that we raise goes to help farmers around the world develop sustainable crops. They also provide animals that can give meat, milk, eggs, honey, all those things we go to the grocery store to buy. Wells are dug and sand dams are built to provide clean water that is close and can be used to irrigate with. 25% of the money goes to our local charities here in Livingston County, Bountiful Harvest, the Torch Food Truck, and Love Incorporated. Livingston County, one of the wealthiest counties in Michigan, has plenty of need. And the Torch Food Truck is at our picnic today. The motto of the Torch is on the truck, and it says, "Free is how we roll." Because of the belief that you shouldn't have to prove, to fill out paperwork and prove that you are too poor to eat. No one has to fill out paperwork to be accepted at our food truck. 40% of the food in this county or in this country is wasted, and that means thrown in the garbage because it has a sell-by date on it. We can do better. Visiting with people who come to the truck, that's been one of the most fun things that I do is serving at the truck. You meet incredible people. A woman who comes because she cooks for her elderly neighbors, and she loves it when she finds apples and peaches and things that she can make pies with. A divorcee who has two small children, can't afford to work because she can't afford childcare. She's so thankful for what we bring in the truck. A lot of people with health needs, and not only do they love the food that they get, but they love seeing the people that come to the truck. And I've also run into a lot of my former special education students. Transportation is such a problem in this county to get them to a job, and finding jobs that can handle some of their limitations is also a problem. So it's a great time to reconnect and see if we can help. We have a partner at the Torch, thanks to Lawrence Jackson, a former Lion football player who lives in California. There is now a Torch California that Lawrence runs, and because of him and his contacts, we have been hooked up with Trader Joe's. And Trader Joe's has donated a new catering truck to us, which is the truck you will see today. Yeah. It's amazing. Tuesday and Wednesday, food is picked up from Trader Joe's in Northville. Boxes and boxes of food, and it's fresh produce, fruits, vegetables, meat, and bread. We go out to four different locations on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, as well as the truck sitting outside our Fowlerville Torch 180 building for people to walk up and take things off the truck. It's important to note that we would like to get the truck out every day of the week. So we're always looking for new groups that are willing to take the truck out and get it to different locations. So that's our goal, is to get that truck out every day of the week. Torch 180 is our coffee shop cafe that is open Wednesday through Friday in Fowlerville. It's the old Fowlerville Library. We train developmentally disabled young adults to work in the food industry or just to work. These students made the dessert treats that you will eat today. They were excited to do that for us. And you're going to be able to visit the truck and get your drinks and your desserts at the picnic. So the crop walk is important because of the funding that we get for all our local things as well as around the world. So walk with us. Walk, if you can't walk, donate to a walker, or go online and make a generous donation. We'll have the online things on our website so that you can see how to do that. It's what Jesus would want us to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, in following you, we have learned how to live a more full life. In our gratitude, we bring our offerings so that others can know the joy of following you. Bless the ministries that will be supported by this offering. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. We're so grateful to have you in our midst. If you're able to join us for the service at 11 and the all-church picnic thereafter, we hope that you will. If you have a chance, I just encourage you to say hi to Allison, our new director of children and student ministry. She was downstairs caring for our Sunday school. She's done an awesome job. If you didn't get a chance to see it last week, there was a beautiful setup for the kids, a beautiful setup again this week. In addition to that, I wanted to let you know one of our retired clergy, Reverend Rhonda Hawkins, will be teaching a class. Has anybody by any chance seen the TV series, The Chosen? Has anybody seen that? It's a TV series about Jesus's life and ministry. Reverend Rhonda Hawkins will be teaching a series on that particular video series beginning this Wednesday. And we encourage you to sign up for that if you're interested in taking her class. We also wanted to let you know that in the month of October, we have a devotion that'll be going out every single day through email. If you're interested in receiving that, we encourage you to sign up for that because it'll be a wonderful devotion and study about generosity and what it means to be extravagantly generous. And that begins the first day of October. As you depart into the world, as you go out into the mission field, as you go out to serve and love God, remember the voice of the Good Shepherd. Allow it to filter out all of the other noise that you can hear in this world, all the other voices that creep into your mind that may tell you that you're not good enough, that you're not strong enough, that you're not the right person for the job at this time, that you're not worthy, and filter all of those voices out and be reminded that the Good Shepherd would never say those kinds of things, that the Good Shepherd is the one who builds up, who affirms, who gives life and wholeness and healing to all of God's children. As you go out into the world, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.